Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Change the world, we have to be changed ourselves, which is why you might find that God is always working on you. He's never working on the other person, at least from your perspective. He's always working on you. And so that other person who needs to change and they're a thorn in your flesh, God needs to work on him. Well, he may be and he probably is, but while they're still being so cantankerous and stubborn, he's also working on you.
In this temporary world full of darkness and injustice, it can become easy to feel hopeless. It can begin to feel like the darkness will consume us all. But change is possible through Christ. In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind you that change happens on an individual level. We can't go right into changing the world. We have to allow Christ to change us so that we can lead others to Christ so they can be changed. And when they are changed, next are the towns, nations, and the world. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Let me read something really quick. Man wanted to change the world, to change the world around him, had ambitions, you know. And so he said, this was written around AD 1100, "When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town. As an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realized the only thing that I can change is myself. And suddenly, I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact could have changed the nation. And I could indeed have changed the world." It's the order that God gives us for change. You change. Don't try to change everyone else around you. You change and let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds. They might see you and glorify our Father in heaven. To change the world, we have to be changed ourselves, which is why you might find that God is always working on you. He's never working on the other person, at least from your perspective. He's always working on you. And so that other person who needs to change and they're a thorn in your flesh, God needs to work on him. Well, he may be and he probably is, but while they're still being so cantankerous and stubborn, he's also working on you, on your heart, your response. Are you going to turn things over to God? Are you going to trust the Lord? Are you still going to serve and obey the Lord? He's working on you. We need to change if we're going to help others change. We need to survive circumstances and overcome odds and obstacles if we're going to show others that they can too. The person in the mud pit isn't going to have enough leverage to help the other person out of the mud pit. We need steady ground. We need a stable faith. One that's steady and sure. One that others can look up to and follow. And one that's not always shifting and changing with every wind that comes. That's inconsistent. There has to be a consistency in our faith, something that God is calling us more and more to, whether it's our attitude, our emotions, everything. There needs to, at some point, be a stability about our life because we're building it on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Well, the Hebrews were learning this. Everything was shaken in their life. Their families were pulling the plug on them and pulling resources from them. Their bosses were firing them. Everything was going on because of their faith in Christ. He was truly bringing, like Jesus said, a separation, a division in family even. And all of this was taking place and they're wondering, what do we do? How do we respond? How do we live? Everything seems to be falling apart around us. And so the author gives them some direction. He's been telling them the importance and the priority of Christ, but now he gives them some practical direction in how to live out their faith in a practical way so that their faith might be stable. So let's look at some of the keys to a stable faith as they relate to us or pertain to us. Verse 7, he says to them, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." The first key to a stable faith is to look to the examples set before you. Look to others. See, there's a tendency for us to fix our eyes on us. I need to fix this. I need to change this. I need to, and I'm going to find a book, and I'm going to fix. We can be so preoccupied with what I should do and what I should fix. But God often says if we want to grow beyond ourselves, we can't look to ourselves. We can't look at ourselves. We need to look at others, examples, because others live differently than us. They give us a perspective outside of our own thinking. And so he says, look to those leaders, those who rule over. You've spoken the word to God to you, whose faith follow. Look to others who have run the race ahead of you. In fact, they've run it well. That's what Hebrews 11 was all about, the Hall of Fame of Faith. They did this. They died this way. They gave their life. They lost everything. So, while this is going on in your life, you have a great cloud of witnesses that say you can do this. So look to them and do this. Now, because we all can't relate and we can't ask questions of those who ran the race in Hebrews chapter 11, God still raises up leaders and establishes them in his church today. Examples. Men and women who are to be examples of what godly living looks like, what it means to live by faith, what the sacrifices involve, what the priorities are, what it means to be committed to the Lord, because everyone has their own interpretation of that. For some, committed to him just means every morning I put him in my back pocket and I go wherever I want to go. I do whatever I want to do, but I'm committed to him. He's here. It's just like I'm committed to my wallet. But that's not the way that he's talking about being committed to the Lord. He's saying, deny yourself, lose all of these other things, get rid of the stuff that means nothing in eternity, and wholeheartedly follow after the Lord. Because these men and women that we're addressing here in Hebrews were losing everything, and they needed to make some decisions. So he says, look to your leaders, consider the way, the outcome of their way of life. Look to them, listen to them, learn from them. Remember those who rule over you. He's not talking in a whole world sense, government leaders and all of that. He's talking specifically in the church. Church leaders. Because God does call men and women to participate wholeheartedly in the work of the church. Not to be bosses, not for positions, but to live as examples. To know the scriptures and be able to instruct others, to show them patience and everything else. And ministry will test all of those things. Being involved in the church will test all of those things. I have known so many who said, man, I want to go full time in ministry. I want to serve at the church full time. And they think it's going to be like walking in heaven. But you're really dealing with human beings. And it's not as easy, and sometimes it can be more frustrating because you know the word of God. Get here on time. And it can test you. They're not perfect, but they are called to rise up and live to another standard. those who are called to lead in the church, the leaders that he's talking about. Look at them. Now, you do it willingly, and you do it not to have a position, but you do it because God calls you to, God sets you up, you're living your life in order to be an example. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter wrote, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Because when you get involved and you're supposed to be the one that others serve alongside and look to in ministry, you need to set the example of an attitude of participation and being there and being available. Not somebody who's barely getting by as a Christian. Those who lead first must have their own lives in order. If they're going to stretch out beyond the border of their own homes, they need to have their own lives in order, their own homes established, their attitudes in check, their negativity transformed, reversed to positivity. So they can be encouragers and not guys or gals who beat others down and talk about them. It says, considering the outcome of their conduct. It simply means don't just look to them or listen to them, but look at their lives. What is the fruit of their life? Is there consistency? Is there stability? Is there a sense of commitment, or is this like all over the place and the Lord's like indecisive? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" It all starts in the home, how we are ordering our home. Now, when I say in order, let me just explain this, because some at this point check out and they say, okay, we can never serve. Our home is not perfect. I don't mean that you have to have a home that's perfect, flawless. Kids never say a word unless it's the perfect word.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
None of that. That's not what I'm talking about. But your home must be governed by the principles of God's word, and everyone in the home must understand that. That's what I mean. There has to be a sense of headship, and God's word is that. So that everyone rallies around it. When there is error, and there will be error, we're imperfect. If you have children, there will be error. If you have husbands or wives, there will be error. If you have human beings, there will be error. But when they hear the word of God, there shouldn't be this, well, I don't agree with that. I don't want that. That can't be a leader in the church. But someone who says, you know, that is the word of God. I'm sorry. We need to adjust. Then that person, though they fail, though they have imperfections, that person sets a good example. That person teaches the person who's making the mistakes. How do I respond when I make the mistakes? I'm sorry. I need to change. Okay, that's something to look to. That's something to follow. So, having a home that's established by the Word of God, that means the marriage should be stable if you're married. You can't try to lead because you have some ambition. I want to be a part of the ministry because I have some ambition. My home's a wreck and my wife, she's holding me back. But man, I have this call. You don't have that call. You have the call. If you're overlooking your home and your life and your wife for this thing, this role, you don't have the call. Because your call is to minister to your wife. Your call is to minister to your family, your immediate family, not everyone out there. Actually, we're all related. You know that, right? So Adam and Eve, that means we would all be, we'd have to be busy about everyone else and that home's not gonna be in order. So I'm talking those in your immediate home that are or should be living with you immediately. That home should be in order. The marriage, stable. Children, if living at home with you, should understand that they're not to be the one stirring up trouble, causing trouble, the one that everyone looks to going, oh boy, here those kids are. Man, they're trouble. They're going to be kids. The scripture says there's foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child, and it says that we should train them, discipline them, but it is there. So it's going to be there. They're kids. Some never grow out of it. It never got disciplined out or something. But kids are kids. It's okay that they're kids. They just need to be in a home where they're being trained that certain things aren't right so they can grow up. So just because kids aren't perfect doesn't mean you can't be involved in ministry or serving the Lord. Be an overseer, as he's saying, look to them, remember them. But there needs to be a sense of gravitating toward the Lord and moving that direction. Finances need to be in order and honoring to the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't, that you didn't make some mistakes in the past that you're recovering from, but you need to start honoring the Lord by saying, this is not acceptable. This debt, and we just always have an excuse, always have a reason because we don't trust the Lord. We keep getting ourselves into a hole. This has to change. We're going to get ourselves out of debt. We're going to honor the Lord. And we are also going to give to the Lord, even if it's 50 cents a month, because we want to establish a good pattern of offering to the Lord. These kinds of things. In fact, one pastor, several pastors have told me, if you're going to look for leaders in the church, it doesn't have to be that they give a lot, but look for consistent giving habits. Because those who won't give of their resources, those who won't give of themselves, are probably in it for themselves if they're seeking positions. So, and then time management is something else that we need to have, because trust me, when you're starting to work with others, if you don't have your time in control, you're just not going to make it. Why all of this? Why all this to work on, man? Just to be somebody who participates in the work of God. Because others who are coming from the world have made a lot of bad decisions and they need somebody to look to who can help them rise up above it all. To get out of the mess. They don't need somebody who's in that mess with them, in the mud, going, well, it's okay, I'm in it too. They don't need that. They can get that out in the world. They need somebody to look to who says, you can do it. I know. Follow me as I follow Christ. Part of the list of qualifications for overseers is 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, they must have a good testimony among those who are outside. This is interesting because we can all have a good testimony among those who are inside our little circle. They're all going to say something nice about me. But what about others outside? For us, outside might be our neighbors. How do they act? How do they behave? Well, they're kind of mean. They don't like us. They're always yelling at each other. Or coworkers. Those who work with you, they don't go to your church, but they watch you at work. They know how you handle lunch and breaks and whether you get there on time. Creditors, your credit report is a witness. Amen. So all of these things, these are witnesses. So those called to lead are called to a higher standard of living and sacrifice. It's for those who are called to be the leaders that they're called to remember. Look to them as an example. They're called to a higher standard of living, not what is lawful, not what can I do, what's okay for me to do, but what is expedient, what is helpful for me in becoming Christ-like and helping others to become Christ-like as well. It's a great sacrifice of time and energy. And this includes a higher level of commitment to the church that they belong to, the flock that they're called to shepherd. If that's what you're called to do, to help lead, you're called to shepherd. There are no positions in ministry. They're examples. People are looking to you. There's a lot more responsibility in the church than out there in the world in a job. The job, as long as the money comes in, that's primarily the point. As long as you get the work done, it doesn't matter how you do it, get it done. But the closer you get to the Lord, and the church should be extremely close to the Lord, the more there's a sense of discipleship. Care for those who are under you. Minister to them. You're a minister to them, a shepherd for them, taking care of them and building them up. They're not a resource for you to get the job done. They're ministry for you who would be called a leader. That's part of the sacrifice of being involved in ministry. Now, in the case of those who are the leaders that they've been called to look to, when he says consider the outcome of their way of life, their conduct, you know what their outcome was? Martyrdom, death. They died. Now, that's a sacrifice. They died for their faith, or they were imprisoned for their faith. Hey, look what they endured. Look what they've done because they trust in God. Follow their faith and know that God is well pleased with that. Sacrifice is a part of leading in God's church. Sacrifice. It's what's missing, I think, so much in the church, this idea of sacrifice. What would Martin Luther's Reformation have looked like if there were no sacrifice? There would have been no public hanging of the 95 Theses because that caused him a lot of flack. No, nothing public like that. And then he would have never stood before the crowd when they were telling him, recant, or we'll kill you, you will die. There would not have been this statement by Martin Luther. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen. It's a high calling. It's a serious calling. It's not a fun calling, although it's very fun. It's exciting, but it's a serious one. And it's one that I'm praying fervently that God will begin to make a separation in this church and that leaders will rise up who are committed to this church, to this fellowship, to support this pastor and the work that's going on, who will be all in. If you don't know what all in means, it means that this is going to start coming first in my life to build up God's kingdom. I am not a guy who holds people's feet to the fire real well. I'm just a follow the Lord kind of a guy. But this was a study that got my attention about the necessity of a commitment on the part of those who would be called to lead. And as we're growing, I'm finding that it's very important that we have stable, committed individuals who are trustworthy and responsible to lead in this church. So I'm going to ask you to pray for your leaders, to pray for those who are called to lead, and pray about whether or not you're called to lead. Remember them, just as he said to remember them, and don't abandon them.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life, and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.